Hello there, and welcome to the Nutrition Diva podcast. I'm your host, Monica Reinagel, and this week I have an update to a story that I started covering way back in 2016. The FDA has spent the last 7 years coming up with a new set of rules for which packaged foods can promote themselves as healthy, and today I'm going to fill you in on what they came up with. But first, a quick answer to a question sent in by Giselle. My kids have been campaigning for me to buy an air fryer, she wrote. Everyone seems to be talking about them, but I'm a little suspicious. I get that they use less oil, but is a chicken wing cooked in an air fryer really any healthier than one I could bake in my oven? Well, Giselle, to be honest, there probably wouldn't be a big difference nutritionally between a chicken wing that you cooked in an air fryer and one that you baked in the oven. However, in terms of the texture, the air-fried wings might be a better imitation of deep-fried wings than the oven-baked would be, and they would obviously be much lower in oil. Air fryers are essentially countertop convection ovens. They use swirling hot air to create that crispy, browned texture that you get from deep-fried foods, but using only a tiny amount of oil. So not only do you consume much less oil and calories, but you're not left with a quart or two of used oil to throw away afterwards. Researchers from Miami University compared conventional deep-fried French fries to convection-fried and oven-baked fries, and that's how I had always done it. Both the oven-baked and the convection-fried potatoes contained much less oil than the deep-fried ones. But to my surprise, the convection fries contained only half as much oil as the oven-baked, just 1 tablespoon for an entire batch. And again, the texture of those air-fried French fries is much more similar to deep-fried than regular oven-baked ones are. Air-frying is also quicker than oven-baking. On the other hand, though, most of the air fryers I've seen have a fairly low capacity. So if you're cooking for a big crowd, that could be a downside. And I talked more about the pros and cons of air fryers in episode number 568 with registered dietitian and cookbook author Liz Shaw. So if you'd like to hear more about the ups and downsides of air frying, check out that previous episode. But now let's turn our attention to the FDA's big news. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is the agency that gets to decide what kind of health claims American food manufacturers can make about their products. The claim that you'll see on a package of oatmeal, for example, which states that oats may help lower your cholesterol, is allowed to be there only because the FDA has approved it. If you make a claim that the FDA hasn't approved, you could find yourself in a heap of trouble. And that's what happened back in 2016 to the company that makes Kind snack bars. Kind bars are made primarily out of nuts, whole grains, and other relatively wholesome ingredients. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being a completely unprocessed food and 10 being the most highly processed food you could imagine, I'd put Kind bars at about a 3.5 or 4. Now, the nutrition varies from bar to bar, but overall, I'm impressed that there are at least half a dozen different flavors, they're the nuts and spices line, that have 5 grams of added sugar or less. And yet, when Kind bars tried to promote their bars as being healthy, they were pursued by the FDA for making false claims. The FDA argued that Kind bars were too high in fat to be labeled healthy, even though the moderate amount of fat in these bars was coming from nuts. Hello, FDA, it's the 21st century calling. Fat is no longer considered unhealthy, particularly the kind of fats found in nuts. In fact, the American Heart Association recommends that we eat 1 ounce of nuts every day, and a Kind bar probably contains about half of that recommended amount. To their credit, Kind pushed back against this ridiculous regulation, and they won. So the FDA went home to update its criteria for what kinds of foods can be labeled as healthy. That process included soliciting comments from the public about what criteria should be used to determine whether a packaged food can be labeled as healthy. Industry representatives, as well as lobbyists for other points of view, got to work arguing for criteria that would be friendly to their own products or hostile to foods that they wanted to sanction. Dr. Neil Barnard, for example, who is a prominent vegan activist, lobbied them to include criteria that would prevent meat products from being labeled as healthy. And food manufacturers argued for various definitions that would favor their products, and so on. Well, here we are 7 years later, and the FDA is finally back with a proposed rule that attempts to align the definition of healthy with current nutrition science, and that would include the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. So according to the new rules, in order to earn the right to be promoted as healthy, foods will now have to contain a specified amount of at least one of the major food groups, such as fruits, vegetables, grains, dairy, or protein foods. And at the same time, it cannot exceed maximum thresholds of added sugars, saturated fat, and sodium. And approximately 5% of packaged foods would currently meet this new definition of healthy. Not everyone is happy with these new definitions, of course. There's still a lot of debate, for example, over whether saturated fats are as harmful as some believe them to be, or even whether all saturated fats are equally harmful. For example, the saturated fats in whole milk dairy do not appear to have the same negative impacts on heart health as saturated fats from other foods, which raises the question of whether it's really the saturated fats at all. But almost any criteria that you could think of is going to end up excluding some wholesome foods or endorsing foods that aren't particularly healthy. For example, the low-fat criteria that originally excluded Kind bars did allow things like fat-free pudding cups to be labeled as healthy. While nutrition wonks debate what the feds got right and wrong in their new definition of healthy, food manufacturers who want to promote their products as healthy choices are simply going to pivot and reformulate as necessary. For example, under these new rules, you could use concentrated fruit juice or dates to produce foods that are quite high in sugar without triggering that added sugar limit. In my opinion, this entire conversation is missing a larger point, which is this. No food product can reasonably be declared to be healthy, or unhealthy for that matter, in a vacuum. And if you've ever emailed me to ask whether a certain food was good or bad for you, then you already know that my next questions are always these. Number one, how much of it are you eating? If you're drinking 20 ounces of soda every day, I'm a little concerned. If you have a soda with your popcorn at the movies once a month, I'm not going to bat an eyelash. Question number two is, what else are you eating? Cured and processed meats have a bad reputation for increasing your risk of certain cancers. However, when they are consumed with plenty of vegetables, this risk virtually disappears. So context really matters. Number three, what would you be eating if you weren't eating that instead? A meal replacement bar might not seem like a great choice compared to, say, an entree salad, but if it's that or a bag of M&Ms, I think I'd vote for the meal replacement bar. And finally, what are your individual needs and goals? Do you need to limit sodium? Are you diabetic or pre-diabetic? Are you trying to gain or lose weight? Foods often have a mix of good and bad points, and how you balance those out is going to depend on that larger context, but also on your personal situation. So given all of that, and the fact that healthy claims are inevitably going to do more to benefit food marketers than they will to benefit consumers, I think we should just abandon the whole enterprise. Let's just have the manufacturers be transparent, list the ingredients and the nutrition facts, and then let's learn to make good choices based on something other than marketing claims. And of course, if most of the foods that you buy and eat don't come in packages with ingredient lists, well, then the less you have to worry about those that do. You can email me your question at nutrition@quickanddirtytips.com or call the Nutrition Diva listener line at 443-961-6206, and your question could be featured in a future episode. I'd also like to invite you to check out my other podcast. It's called The Change Academy, where Brock Armstrong and I talk about how to create and sustain new habits. You can find it on all the major podcast platforms. So whatever app you're using right now to listen to me, just head to the search bar and type in Change Academy. Nutrition Diva is a quick and dirty tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Nathan Sems with script editing by Adam Cecil. And the rest of our team includes Morgan Christensen, Holly Hutchings, Davina Tomlin, and our intern, Cameron Lacey. That's it for me this week. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week.